Okay, guys, I know y'all tuned into another episode today of Hot Takes with TP3. Before we get things started, we got a quick word from our sponsors. The first sponsor of today's episode is Prize Picks. I don't know if y'all are familiar or not with Prize Picks platform and how it works. If you download the app and you use promo code TP3BETS, you will receive 100% instant match deposit of up to $100. So you deposit $100, you get 100 back. Let's say you deposit 50, you get 50 back, and so on and so forth. How it works, guys, you pick 2 to 6 players, and if they'll go over or under their projections, more or less, you get up to 25% or 25 times your money on that. Let's say tonight you want to pick Luka Doncic to go over 28.5 points, LeBron over 7.5 rebounds, Dalvin Cook over 86.5 rush yards, and let's say you want to go with Jameis Winston under 205 pass yards, something or other like that, guys. It offers a ton of sports. That means you can have NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, PGA, college football. The list goes on and on. They even have tennis, NASCAR, anything you could possibly want. It is on there, I promise, guys. Prize Picks is available in your state. Download the app to check and make sure it's in your state. Once again, use code TP3BETS. It takes about 60 seconds to pick everything and deposit. It's easy withdraw, easy deposit. Once again, use code TP3BETS if you want to sign up for Prize Picks. Okay, guys, second sponsor of the show we have is SoBet. That's SoBet.io. The link is in my bio on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at TP3Bets. But y'all don't even know what SoBet is yet, man. It is the best value in sports betting. There's over 38 other handicappers on there like myself. It's $10 a month, and you get all those bets. Let's say you don't want to tail me. You can tail somebody else on the website. Everybody over there is winning. Everyone's putting in great work. You get every single bet explained, like me and Ben break down for you guys on these podcasts. Might as well go ahead and do it for only $10 a month. Might as well sign up, try a month, say you don't like it. It's all good, guys. But yeah, SoBet. Go over there, get at them. One. How's it going today, guys? We're back here live. I'm in the studio for another episode of Hot Takes with TP3. Once again, I'm your host, Thomas Penland, coming to you live on Thursday, October 12th, 2023. And as always, I am joined by Ben Gorwitz on this fine Thursday. Ben, we got a big week of football. We got our Braves in the playoffs. How are we doing today?
I wish the Braves were up in the playoffs. Brink of elimination tonight, but I'm good. I'm good. Feel positive thoughts going into that game. Good thoughts going into the weekend. Podcast has been good recently.
Yeah, podcast has been hot. I just want to say this, Ben. All the negative Braves fans have been pissing me off during these games. I've been positivity only. Look, last game, it is what it is.
There's a lot of people out there, a lot of people who like baseball but can't watch, 150-plus games like you and I can. And so, listen, opinions start to change. It's playoff baseball. More people are tuned in. Not going to call them the C word, but they are casuals. Oops, that just slipped out of my mouth. We're good. We're good. All right. Let's see what the team can do.
Ben, I think next week we definitely need to get a Tuesday pod so we can discuss things betimes bets in there. But with no further ado, Ben, let's get into today's slate. We got to get a quick recap. I always forget the recap, man. We haven't won a recap since we've been on fire. Ben, tell the people how we did last week.
Yeah, 2-0 in college for me. Really, these last 4 weeks, it's 11-1. But 2-0 this past week, 3-2-1 from you. Again, screwed on a podcast pick that I think you may have won overall, and you've had some bad beats in college this year, I can't lie. 1-2 in the NFL for me, first losing week, and 2-2 for you. So in college, podcast 28-27-2, part of me feels like I didn't add those numbers from this week, but... and then 17-10-1 in the NFL. So we'll keep that going.
Guys, it was a tough start. We're back to positive. Yeah, Missouri was one of the most sickening beats of all time. And then Alabama followed it up with a nice Smith stepping out at the 2-yard line. Of course, they got the holding call. Couldn't punch it in time. So double bad beat for me as it pushed the total and lost Texas A&M spread. So it is what it is. We roll with the punches, man, and we're ready to get to it this week. Ben, do you have any action for Friday college football?
I do not.
I'll give a pick for Friday college football. I decided to add one since I do have a Friday pick. Look, this was actually going to be a max bet for me when it was at 3. It went all the way up to 4.5. I'll still endorse it and take the 4.5 with you guys, even though I'm on it at 3. We'll say I'm on it at 4.5 because I don't think it's going to matter in this game.
Give me the green wave of Tulane to roll like a wave over Memphis in this game. Look, I've been saying this since day one. This Memphis team is incredibly overrated. When you look at Memphis, they haven't really played anybody. They beat Arkansas State in one of the worst teams in the FCS. They barely beat Navy, whose quarterback looks like a girl when he throws the football. I mean, I think this Memphis team is insanely overrated. They should have lost that game. Navy fumbled twice in the Memphis red zone at the end of the game. Tulane is a very stout defense. They beat up on a South Alabama team that looks like an even better win after they won at Oklahoma State. And, I mean, they played with Ole Miss with a backup QB in there. Michael Pratt's going to be in this game. I don't think Memphis is in the same realm as them. I think Tulane's on a level above this entire conference, kind of like I say with Western Kentucky and Conference USA. Give me Tulane. I think that even if this was at 7, I would still take the green wave.
There you go. Tulane is good. Tulane's very good.
Oh, yeah. No, Tulane is very good. I think Tulane could make a bowl game in the ACC at this point. So I think this is a really solid program. Ben, take us away with your first game of the day on Saturday.
Yeah, so I don't have a noon game to give out this week. But I'm going to go to the 3:30 window. I'm going to go to the SEC window. I'm going to go Florida, South Carolina over 51.5. Spencer Rattler, I was higher on him this year than I was in years past. He might just be who we thought he was. But to be honest with you, the defenses in this game are bad. South Carolina's defense can't stop anyone right now. Florida doesn't particularly throw the ball through the air as well as some people might have thought with Mertz. You and I weren't really high on Mertz. But I think this game flies over. I really do. I think both of these quarterbacks can easily give up picks to where it helps the offense in short territory. I need South Carolina to win this game because I said, I think on our SEC podcast, I took Florida under 5.5 wins. This is one that I was counting on Florida to lose. So I need those Gamecocks, but I'm taking the over in the game for the podcast.
Ben, I know I've been against you in the last couple of weeks, but on this one, look, I didn't have this one written down as one of the plays I was going to give out, but I have taken this game, so put me down for it as well. I'm on the over, man. I agree with you completely. This number's way too low. South Carolina ain't winning this game with their defense. They're going to throw the football in this game, and I don't think South Carolina's defense is going to get many stops either. I'm going to go back in time here, and I'm going to go to TCU and BYU, which kicks off at the noon slate. The total in this game is set at 52.5, and I've been the same thought process as Ben here. Give me the over, man. Both these teams are pretty poor in tackling, and their defenses are very suspect. BYU, except when they played Sam Houston State, one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the FBS at this point in time, has gone way over. They've gone over 60 points in every single game they've played in. I mean, TCU's offense is good enough to get us over this. 52.5 basically says it's going to be a defensive struggle, and I think this will be the furthest thing from it. I think there'll be a lot of points. Plus, it's going to be one of the warmer games of the day. The weather's really cooled down all over the place. It's going to be like 77 degrees, which is solid weather. I think both these teams will come out here and be ready to throw the ball and make big plays. I mean, a couple turnovers. This goes over easily. This game will play out exactly like the Cincinnati BYU game is, and we'll get over the total. I don't think there will be a problem. This is one of my strongest plays of the entire week.
I'm going to go to the 6:30 window. This team's rolling, and I can't remember if you were on them at the beginning of the year to be a surprise team in the ACC or not. Were you on Louisville as your surprise team?
Yeah, well, it wasn't more about the talent level. I said they played the easiest schedule known to man, so I'm going to stick with that.
Yeah, so Pittsburgh's, like, bad. And I remember I was higher on Pittsburgh than some.
Were.
I think I had them fourth, maybe. I think fourth in the ACC. They don't have much talent for an ACC school right now. They can't move the ball very well offensively. Louisville's rolling at all cylinders. They beat – who'd they just beat? Notre Dame?
Yeah, Notre Dame.
And Notre Dame, I think that we may talk about them, we may not. I think they're in a decent position this week. I'm going to take Louisville -7.5 at Pitt. That's a 6:30 game. I just think Louisville has supreme talent in this game, offensively, defensively. I think even though it's his first year there, I think they do have the better coach in this matchup as well.
Absolutely.
And I think Louisville continues to roll these bad teams that they've played.
Yeah,
I believe also Louisville, I think they've covered When they're a road favorite this year, I think they're 2-0 on it.
Yeah, because they played Georgia Tech at a neutral, the only one they didn't cover. Well, Ben, I really wanted to play Pittsburgh. I can't lie. I looked for every reason to, because I think Louisville is the most fraudulent team in college football, but I simply can't get there on Pittsburgh. Phil Dracovich, the guy who's been playing quarterback for him, he played at Boston College. He played at Notre Dame. We've talked about a million times. He's going to try to play tight end at this point in time. That's how bad times have come for him.
Wow.
Yeah, he's trying to play tight end. So I can't get behind whatever Narduzzi's trying over there at Pitt. There's no way I could take him. I think the spread's too low. I would need at least 10 points to get there. So I think Ben's on the right side there. I'm going to go to one of the biggest games of the day. I like to talk about the biggest games of the day, and I bet on this one. So give me Washington, the Huskies, -2.5. Jalen McMillan, their superstar wide receiver, will be back in this game. Look, I know everybody's going crazy over Oregon. Oregon hasn't played anybody yet, Ben. They rolled a crap team in their first game of the season, a game where I was all over the over end. They rolled, I think it was like Portland State. They rolled against Colorado.
Texas, at Texas Tech. That
okay.
was...
I think, Texas I think Tech was both... driving to win the game against them, and Shuck got hit, threw the ball in the defensive tackle's chest, and returned it 50 yards for a backdoor touchdown. They might have lost that game. Texas Tech was at midfield with 35 seconds left.
I'm just saying they've played somebody. At the time, yeah. A lot of people had Tech, including you and I, had Texas Tech money line in that game. You can't say they haven't played nobody if you thought they were going to lose.
Yeah, let's go back to the sickening bad beats they Thomas has been on this year. That's another one right there. Thanks for reminding
covered.
Me.
Yeah. Should have covered.
Yeah. Thanks for reminding me on that one, Ben. But anyway, yeah, I love this spot here for Washington. I think that Washington's not getting the respect they deserve, and I think Washington is going to come out here and roll them. Give me the Huskies in this game. I think they're just the much better team. What Michael Penix Jr. does with his offense is insane. So I know it's a revenge spot for Oregon, but I don't care.
Yeah, so it's not only that, it's Pac-12 teams play much better. The home versus road splits in yep. Pac-12 is there's no conference that's like this over the years. So yeah, I mean, taking a home team in a pivotal Pac-12 game, not the worst thing in the world. Also, I saw the last time, I don't remember the year, last time these two teams played, game day was there in Washington, or the last time game day went to Washington was for this game, and Oregon blew them out. So a little bit of revenge on national TV for the Huskies.
Interesting. Have they said who the guest picker is going to be?
No, I believe it's been Joel McHale, the actor, before, because he played football at Washington. So I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if it was him again. I believe he's been on game day before, but I haven't seen much.
Dark horse prediction. Isaiah Thomas, not the Pistons Isaiah Thomas, the Celtics Isaiah Thomas. That's who they should get to be the guest picker.
The Isaiah Thomas that actually went to Washington, not the Hall of Famer that went to Indiana.
Yeah, the other Isaiah Thomas was pretty damn good, though, until he tore his hip up. So
7:30, here comes a gross pick. Maybe not a gross pick. Yeah, I'm taking Miami +4.
I love it.
You like getting into the gross trenches.
I love it.
I'm back in Miami off a game where their coach is rightfully being shredded to pieces. Some people think he should be fired. But the truth is, Tyler Van Dyke is a lot better this year than he was last year. I don't know if he's as good as 2 years ago when he kind of broke, when he came in like late in that season and then got the job, basically. But this Miami offense has really been firing. I don't know if I were to look at their defense. So their defensive numbers are good. Like, mm-hmm. They're really good. They're tackling much better than they were. They're getting to the quarterback. They've really only had one real game, and it was against A&M. So I don't know if I want to say that their defense ranks where it does rank, because they've played Temple, Bethune-Cookman, and Miami of Ohio outside of A&M. But the defense has been good, is my point. They've been much improved. The offense is there. You got rid of Enos, you got rid of Gattis, and Van Dyke is actually able to be a proper quarterback again. I don't think Cristobal, I don't think he's a bad coach.
Same.
I don't think he's the best with time management and being head coach. I think he's a great motivator for big games. I think he's a great recruiter, and I think he's a good X's and O's type of football guy. I think he's a football guy more than he's a football coach.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I'm not going to not bet on a team because I think that their coach is going to call a timeout when he should, or not go for it when he should, or I can't control every variable in the game. He knows he made a mistake. I think he's ready to fix it. Maybe they have more of a collaborative collaborative effort in the headset when they're talking. I just know that Miami in 2023 can go into UNC and win the game outright. So I'm going to take the points. Give me +4.
Yeah, Ben, I haven't gotten there yet on this one. I have this game, the Notre Dame game, and like three other games marked on my strong considerations sheet. I just need to like do a little more research and get there at the end of the week. I'm kind of waiting, like you said, you know, to see what the kind of closing numbers looking more like and whatnot in these games. But I agree with you. Like, look, Cristobal threw his offensive coordinator under the bus after the play happened. And
didn't love that, I'll be honest.
I kind of am with Mario on this one. He said, I thought they were going to take a knee. Looking back on it, I should have jumped in and made the call. That was his exact quote. I kind of agree with him. You would assume the offensive coordinator is going to take a knee. So I heard that the running back apparently was close to hitting 100 yards, and that was why they ran the play.
Aren't you supposed to be talking to your coaches? Who is he talking to on the headset?
Who knows? He's probably telling him what bottles of liquor he wanted to live that night.
I think everyone on the field is responsible.
I agree.
I think if you're Tyler Van Dyke, you've played in college for 4 years, 5 years. Yeah. I think he's been playing for three, but he's been in college for, I think, five. I think he should be responsible. I think Cristobal deserves the most responsibility. I think the offensive coordinator is at fault. I think the offensive analyst in the booth, speak up. Your job is to coach football games, and you're judged by your record.
Yeah, and if you're an analyst in the booth,
you should never lose. That puts your job at jeopardy. Speak up.
Yeah, and if you're an analyst in the booth and you say we should be kneeing the ball here, we shouldn't be running another play, and they get mad at you, you probably don't want to coach there. You know, like if you tell them to make the right call,
or if you say knee it, and they don't knee it, and you fumble and you lose the game, I got me on record saying that we should have kneed it.
Exactly.
Maybe promote me.
Exactly. That's one of the craziest things I've ever seen happen. I actually was exhausted on Saturday night, and I went to bed at like
11. One of the worst losses in college football.
Yeah, I went to bed at like 11:15 p.m., and I woke up to a bunch of texts and just like crazy stuff. I was like, I got to see what happened. And I hopped on TikTok. I saw the play. I was like, oh my gosh, I cannot even believe that happened. It was insane, Ben. But anyway, on to the next one. I'm going to go back in time a little bit, and I'm going to go to I think this game might start at 7:00. I know it's a night game. We have the Missouri Tigers, after they screwed me, playing at Kentucky this week. And the total in this game is only 50. So I've done a decent bit of research in this. Apparently, it's supposed to be a little windy. It's potentially rain. It's supposed to rain earlier in the day. I don't really care, though. I think that rain, unless it's like 20-mile-per-hour winds with 30-mile-per-hour gusts like we have tonight in the Chiefs game, that's when weather concerns me. This type of weather we have in this game does not concern me at all. I'm going over 50 in this game. Missouri's defense is not good. Kentucky's ranks outside of the 90s in tackling. From what I see, it's the rain is supposed to stop in the morning, so the rain will be done at that point in time. Kentucky has a terrible pass defense. We saw Georgia throw all over them last week, and Missouri's pretty bad against the run, and their defense in general is not great. I think Ray Davis is going to run all over them. I don't think the weather can keep this one from going under. There's going to be missed tackles. We know Luther Burden and these Missouri wide receivers are going to get open down the field. I think they're going to score in the 70s in this game. This line is absolutely ridiculous. I think this is probably my strongest play of the entire week, Ben. Give me the over 50 between Missouri and Kentucky.
There you go. I was looking at that earlier. I just didn't get it to the window.
Hey, I'm glad to hear we're on the same page. Do you have any other plays left, Ben, for college football? No.
I'm done in college.
All right, I will finish this out strong here. I have two more. Both these are two pretty strong looks for me. These are my strongest sides of the week. First one, don't overthink it, guys. Take Duke -3. Look, I know this number factors in that Riley Leonard won't play. He hasn't officially been ruled out. I don't care, though. If whether he plays or not, it doesn't matter. The backup quarterback looks pretty nice. He can run the football, and he can make plays through the air, too. Like, this guy, I watched some film on him. I listened to some other people talk about him. He's a pretty good backup quarterback. NC State has nothing at the quarterback position. We watched MJ Morris play in the bowl game. We watched him start games last year. This guy acts like the forward pass is a new idea. If Brennan Armstrong comes back in here, we know Brennan Armstrong ain't doing a damn thing. NC State at home is an okay team. On the road, they're terrible. Duke defensively is really, really good, and Mike Elko wants to win an ACC championship. Duke's still undefeated in the ACC. Duke's going to come correct in this game. They're the better coach team. They have the better players. I think Duke comes out here and absolutely rolls them. I don't think it really matters the fact that Riley Leonard can't, will or will not play in this game. And honestly, if the number goes down even more, if he's ruled out, I'm probably going to put even more money on Duke at this point because I do not see this game being close. I would take Duke with a third string quarterback over whatever NC State's got going on. This team is garbage. Last pick here to get it, and then we'll take us over to the NFL segment of things. Another 8 o'clock game. This one's going to be on Fox. Oregon State hosting UCLA. The spread on this game is 3.5. Give me the Beavs, man. The Beavs at home. Ben and I just talked about a Pac-12 teams at home. Oregon State's 10-2 ATS in their last 11 games. They've covered 14 of their last 15 games at home. And I quite frankly can't trust Dante Moore at this point in time. He struggled with some turnovers last week. We saw him completely lay an egg at Utah. Utah and Corvallis, where Oregon State plays, are two of the hardest places in all of college football to play. DJ Uiagalelei is coming off probably his best game ever as a college quarterback. They hung 50-plus on Cal last week. I think this Oregon State team's in a groove, and I mean, they've only lost one game in the conference. They want to come out here and knock out UCLA. I do think UCLA is a stout defense, but it won't be enough because they're going to turn the ball over in this game. I think Oregon State wins this game by 14 points.
I almost put the under on my card, but I did not.
Under's not Oregon a bad look State at is, all.
Oregon State's one of like six teams in Division I right now that are 100% scoring rate once they reach the red zone.
Wow, that's even better for me. I'm going to add that for when I make my video later. Thanks for giving me that one, Ben. Let's go over here to the NFL now. Ben, do you have a play for the London game?
I do.
Okay, take us away.
Yeah, I'm going to go another under. Give me under 41.5 Ravens at Titans in London. It's been profitable recently, the under. I think it's 2 for 2 in the last two games that have been played there, and I believe it's 50%. I think it's 3 out of the last 6 that have gone under. The Titans offense is, you can't trust it with anything. Burks didn't even travel with the team. That loses an entire dynamic that the Titans don't have on offense. Titans have been checking the ball down a lot to Spears in the past game. Checkdowns typically don't equal an over with the way the open field tackling is the NFL. And I know the Ravens can put up points, but I don't think this is going to be a track meet type of game. I think it's either a blowout for the Ravens in victory, or I think it's a low scoring Ravens win. So the tough performance from the pass catchers for the Ravens last week. I don't think they dropped 10 balls, but again, a team that likes to run the football compared to throw it. And the Titans just really struggle to move the football. But it does have a defense you can trust. So give me under 41.5 in London.
Oh, I might have to hop on that one with you, Ben. Good news for you as well is the Titans have a laundry list of injury reports, and it looks like a lot of key players did not practice. Jeffrey Simmons was a limited participant, but Marlon Humphrey practiced. He will be matched up with D-Hop. And then pretty much all the other Ravens practiced this week, who I would consider to be, they were full participants today. So that's a big time thing right there. Plus, I know the Ravens traveled over early. Tennessee's going to take that Friday night red eye over there. So that could also play a factor as well. I might have to hop on that one, but I'm going to go to the 1 o'clock hour here. It's tough. This is between my 1 o'clock and this one in my 4 o'clock game. I love for the NFL. I love my three plays for the NFL, guys. We're going 3-0 this week. I texted that to Ben. Give me the Vikings -2.5 versus the Bears. They're going to be on the road here at Soldier Field. Blah, blah, blah. Might be bad weather. The Bears are horrible, dude. The Bears are 32nd in defensive EPA per play, and they have a bottom three defense all around over the last two seasons. The Vikings have lost 62 points to turnovers this season. That's the most in the NFL by far. If you take those out of the equation, they're 4th in EPA per play and on offense. Justin Fields is horrible versus the blitz. We know Brian Flores loves to pin his ears back and rush the passer. The Bears can only hit big plays on offense as well. It's not like they're moving the ball methodically, and their top three running backs are all going to be out of this game. Roshan Johnson has a concussion. He hasn't been practicing. What's the other
Herbert.
Guy's name? Herbert. Yeah, Herbert. He ain't gonna play. And Khalil. Yeah, and I can't remember their other running back's name either, but neither of those guys are gonna be able to play. The Bears are 5-19-1 ATS in their last 25 games versus their division. Justin Fields is 9-20-1 ATS as a starter. And in non-night games, he's 6-16-1 against the spread. The Bears are also 2-10-1 ATS in their last 13 games. And they've given up 20 plus points in their last 15 games. This Bears team is a joke. I think they feel like they got the monkey off their back by winning that game and not being a winless team, getting their first win of the season, ending that long losing streak. You know what the best time is to start another losing streak, Ben?
The very next game.
Yeah, right after the last one ends, baby. Give me the Vikings -2.5. I don't care about the fact Justin Jefferson's out.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a classic gambler's mind of they just lost their best player. Let's fade them, but you reverse it. By the way, I have only totals this week.
Okay.
I don't know. That's where my brain went this week. I don't know, man. Saints, Texans, under 42.5. They stink. The Saints stink.
Yep.
Offensively. I mean, the Texans offense really isn't that bad, but I'll tell you what, the defense, sometimes they come solid to play and sometimes they don't. And I think after that, they played the Falcons last week, right?
Yep, I was at the game.
I think losing a game like that, that's a young team. That does not have the mindset that the former Texans teams have. This is a team that walks in every game and believes that they should win. I really do believe that D'Amico preaches that. I think there's a little bit of sour taste in their mouth. Maybe they don't think the Falcons are that good. They think it's a winnable game for them, and it got ripped from their hearts after they scored in the fourth quarter. All they needed was a stop. They couldn't get it. Ridder was beautiful down the field. Younghoe Koo, of course, Mr. Automatic within 40 yards finishes it off. They got a sour taste in their mouth. They know the Saints aren't very good. Another winnable game. I don't think that they are going to let it slip. I'm not giving out Texans money line, but I am giving out the under. I don't think the Saints offense scores that many points on the Texans. And you got a young quarterback on the other side. I wouldn't be shocked if CJ Stroud, I'm not betting this. I am decent at this bet. I wouldn't be shocked if he threw his first interception. Just Dennis Allen's been around the league for a long time. No, I'm not placing it.
It's plus money, Ben.
But I don't think there's many points in this game. I think that favors the team like the Texans, who are young and can afford to make mistakes when their defense, you know, you can lean on their defense. And Saints got a good pass rush. I really do think Cam Jordan, a veteran like he is, can affect a young quarterback. I don't think there's a lot of points coming to this game. So under 42.5.
Yeah, I have some insane trends on how bad of a coach Dennis Allen is, straight up, and he's ATS.
Horrible.
Yeah, I'll probably be on the Saints for a one-unit play. I mean, sorry, on the Texans as a one-unit play. I think the Saints suck. I can't understand how they're favored here. We got another play at the 1 o'clock window. I mean,
they have more talent, that's why.
Yeah, that actually does make sense. And do they really, though?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have more talent.
It's debatable. I also am a huge Saints hater, so I might be extremely biased. But my next play at 1 o'clock, give me the Indianapolis Colts +4. Feels like I bet on or against them every single week this season. Really, the Colts are coming back from London they're playing the Jaguars in Jacksonville, who are coming back from London. And teams, when they come back from London without taking a bye week, have all been trailing going into the fourth quarter, and they massively underperform towards the spread. This Jags offense is still kind of broken and hasn't figured it out. They're still averaging under 20 points per game, and they kind of punched in a fraudulent touchdown when they were trying to run the clock out when ETN took off on a third down last week. The Colts have outplayed them in week one and were winning going into the fourth quarter before they kind of imploded, and they've got stopped on the one from backdooring the spread. Jonathan Taylor's back in the mix, and they also didn't even have a run game. Remember, that was like the Deion Jackson game when he fumbled the ball twice. I mean, realistically, the Colts won that game by the stats in week one. I think the Colts get their revenge here. Don't be shocked when the Colts pull the outright upset in Jacksonville to start the day off.
I got one more play in the NFL. It is my eye test game of the week. Give me Seahawks at Bengals over 45. So why do I like this? The things that I've been taking notes on, personal notes, after each week, I've noticed that Seattle does have a pretty good secondary, but they still do not have much of a pass rush. I think that favors the Bengals, who have an offensive line that has kind of struggled this year, a quarterback that isn't moving as well as we have seen him move throughout the pocket in the past. Seattle's, I mean, like I said, their secondary, I think, is good. They're very young. They're bottom three against the pass. I think that more has to do with not being able to get to the quarterback than it does with not having talent in the back, because I do think their secondary is very talented. That used to be a strength in the Bengals. It hasn't been this year until last week, when it seems like they figured out how to throw the ball downfield to a superstar receiver named Ja'Marr Chase. It's two downfield passing styles. Geno likes to throw downfield. Lockett is a great deep ball threat. DK is a nice 50-50 deep ball threat. And Jigba's a great yards after the catch guy. I just think I think the mixture of two downfield passing offenses or styles, a bad pass rush that'll help the Bengals offensive line, and two quarterbacks that can really cook when you get them in rhythm thrown through the air. I think the over 40, I think this is a really low number.
Yeah, I actually like that look a lot too, Ben. I think the Seahawks defense is a little overrated considering the fact they played against two teams without offensive lines. So I definitely think that's a good look you got right there.
They still can't get to the quarterback.
Yeah, and it's the Ben Gorwitz eye test game of the week. Gotta love it. My final game for the day, I'm going to go to the 4 o'clock window. Give me the Lions minus the 3 on the road at the Buccaneers. I know I don't bet a lot of away favorites, but I'm going to do it here. I think that we haven't caught up, Ben, to how good this Lions team actually is still. The Lions are the second least in the NFL, but they're top 3 in sacks and havoc created. Havoc created, for those of y'all who don't know, is essentially basically like when you hurry the quarterback and make him make a bad play, bad throw. Yes, you don't get a sack, but that's still considered havoc created when you make the quarterback make a bad play, essentially, and he feels the pressure.
It's like a QB hurry or QB pressure.
Exactly. The Lions are 27-12 ATS since 2021. And since 2021, Jared Goff is 11-3 ATS versus teams above 500. And when you get teams above with a winning percentage above 750, there we go. Ugh, words are hard sometimes. He's 7-0 ATS in those games. So Jared Goff wins outright. He's 6-1 outright and 7-0 ATS. It's big time game, Jared Goff. Jared Goff and his offense is humming. Last week, they didn't even play Amon Ross St. Brown, and they didn't even miss a step. I think the Lions come in here and handle business versus a Bucs team they're much better than.
I don't know if you saw, and I don't want to change your pick.
Okay.
Sam Laporta missed practice today with a calf injury.
I did see that. You know, it definitely hurts, but I think they can get through it.
I think Amon Ross is going to give it a go in warm-up, so then they'll decide. But I'll be honest, I also looked into the Lions in this game, and I'll tell you why. This feels it almost feels like, and I think the Bucs are a pretty good team. I think they're well balanced with the defense that they have. This feels like when they played Philly.
It does.
And it wasn't necessarily a blowout. I mean, it was a blowout. They lost 25-11, but it was close for a little bit. This just feels like it's a little bit a step out of the Bucs range of games that they can compete in this year. So I don't hate that pick at all.
Yeah, one more thing I want to add to that point is the Lions actually grade out very similar to Philly with the way they run the football, how efficient they are in the pass game, and then also, too, with their pass rush, how they're able to drop guys into coverage and without, like I said, they blitz the second least in the NFL, but they're top 3 in sacks and havoc. That's the same thing as the Eagles. The Eagles only use that front 4, and that's what we really saw Baker Mayfield struggle with. And also, too, dude, like, I have the Lions top 5 in my power ratings right now, and I think that we're really sleeping on this Lions team. I think this spread should be like 5.5, so I got to take it when I – that's what I think the spread should be.
Are they third in the NFC for you?
Yeah. I have them in Philly basically as even teams. I got San Francisco ahead of them.
Didn't know if you still had Dallas somewhere in there.
No, I had to drop Dallas a lot after last week. Last week was tough, man.
Listen, getting dropped on the TP power ratings, that's locker room content.
Yeah, exactly, man. Dallas let me down. I bet on Dallas, too, and that, let me tell you, that one was never even close. Ben, anything else you want to talk about, man, before we get up out of here? We got about 4 minutes left.
I was going to say something about the Alabama game, but I was looking at the total in that game.
Yeah.
I think it's like 46, 46 and a half.
It's low, man.
And the spread's 20.
Yeah.
I know Bama's defense has been really good, especially in the second half this year. They've really turned it on, the second half defense. Do we think Arkansas can't put up double digits? Because if you think Arkansas can get to 13 to 17 range, I think that over cash is easy.
I like it, Ben. You're thinking the way I do now. Dude, I wanted to get there. Like, I looked at this game pretty hard. It could be a letdown spot for Bama off a huge win, but at the same
Eno's
time,
is Eno's revenge game.
It is, but he's so inept, dude. Yeah, he's so inept. Like, after, like, I was honestly felt like we could ride Arkansas as a low key wagon, but then after I watched that Texas A&M game, I was like, holy shit, they're terrible. And to be honest with you, like, in that game, Arkansas was only got a pick six and they threw that long touchdown. I could actually see it. I would rather take Alabama with the points because I think Alabama's defense is pretty similar to Arkansas's, like in the fact, or sorry, pretty similar to Texas A&M's. Like, they're good at pressuring the quarterback, but you can't really throw on them. You got to run the ball. And I just feel like Arkansas is going to turn the ball over, go for it on fourth downs. I feel like Alabama wins this game like 31-0.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting game. I'm not worried as an Alabama fan, but
I wouldn't be worried.
I think it's an issue when you looked at the spread and the total. Yeah. It was very interesting to me.
Also, too, like Arkansas's pace of play has been going down a ton. Like, they use almost the entire play. Yeah, that's the other thing too. Why I want to stay off it. There's no way that I'm going to take the under in these games. I would definitely stay away from that one. This is what I'm hoping for.
Bama throws a deep ball too much to take an under. You hit one. You hit at least one. You hit maybe two of those, and those are quick scores with Burton.
Exactly, bro. And, like, I'm low-key hoping the game stays under the total, so next week when it's Arkansas and Mississippi State, we could pound the over because we know it's going to be low. Mississippi State and Bama are over wagons.
Yeah.
Yeah, those
Bama's
are the
over. Been an over wagon?
Dude, I guess they pushed last week. Oh, I took them at 46.
I don't bet on Bama that often, so.
Yeah, I closed at 45.5. They went over, obviously they didn't against South Florida. They went over against Texas. They went over against, who was it against, Mississippi State. I don't know what the spread was on Middle Tennessee State. I know their team total went over though, cause it was 59-0. I want to say it was like 56 was the total or 57. That's typically what it is for the game. So I feel like Bama's probably only not gone over one time all season long. The over could be a good look. The way I looked at it, was I just felt like that I played four overs on Saturday, and I felt like that the ones I played were a little stronger look. That was like the one that I left off. But I'm like you, Ben. I looked at that game with great significance.
Braves, this game's going to be over by the time this is out. I want you to hear me.
All right.
Please bring this game back to Atlanta. Please bring this game back to Atlanta. Please.
Well, Ben, I have good news for you. It was always Braves in five. On that note, guys, it is time for me and Ben to get up out of here. As always, we appreciate everyone who tuned in. Ben, it's been a pleasure as always.
Yes, sir.
Peace.